You all don't have to squeeze to the left hand side. There's so much space here. You all can spread out a bit. Okay. Okay, first things first. This week's birthday, Michelle. When's your birthday? This Monday. Oh, okay. Not first, right? First is Tuesday. Okay, 31st. Okay, come. Happy birthday. Well, may you grow in faith and in love for the Lord. Can also grow taller a bit. What's your height? Can still grow taller, right? Yeah. Eat long beans. Okay. Now, I have one question that was raised, two questions, in fact. So I'm going to answer those questions first, and then we go to today's topic. Now, a question that was raised is, how did we get our Bible, all the different books of the Bible? Now, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to try to explain first the criteria by which they chose the books of the Bible, or the epistles, Old Testament, New Testament. Now, there are four things that they will look for. One, the book has to be written by a known apostle or someone that is supported by an apostle. Okay, like for example, the Gospel of Mark is written by Mark, but it's supported by Peter. Okay, so Matthew was of course he was one of the disciples, and then Luke was not one of the original apostles, but he was someone who did his homework. He took a lot of time to research into all the events, and of course he had all the witnesses and the testimonies of the apostles. Okay? So first thing first, it has to be written by an apostle or someone who is supported by an apostle. Okay? Two, whatever is in the writings of that particular book, it has to be consistent with the Old Testament and the New Testament. Consistency is very important. Okay, if it's not consistent, then it's out. Okay, so that's the second thing. Three, it has to be widespread use. In other words, during that time, all over the various churches, this epistle is being used. So it's not just something that, oh, they look at it and they just decided at one of the council, this is a book that should be decided to be included in the canon of the scriptures. No. It is something that is widespread. It is being used by all the other churches. It's being read by all the other churches. Okay? So before they decided to officially recognize the canon, not canon as in, you know, shoot cannonball, Fort Siloso canon. No, it's not. Okay, this canon, the word canon is the word standard. I think it's a Latin word, if I'm not wrong, for standard. Okay, if any of you are from an Anglican school, SA. Right? Sometimes this pastor or priest, is it priest? They call him pastor or priest. Okay, anyway, he will come. Sometimes they're called canon. Canon Jonathan. Canon Jeremy. You know? They are called canon because they are considered the standard. Ah, they're called Reverend. Reverend Canon something. No canon, huh? Okay, during my time, there was one guy who was a canon. Okay, he's called Reverend Canon Jonathan something. Yeah, I can't remember what's his true name. But anyway, he was quite a high, you know, he was a senior reverend. Okay, maybe your school one is a junior reverend. Not canon. Okay? So the fourth thing is that this book is worth dying for. Okay, people will die for it. There are some books people, no, but this one, they will really fight for it. And there were books then that they really fought for. Okay, so these four things. One, it has to be, who is the author? Two, it has to be consistent, Old Testament, New Testament, it's widespread use. Four, it is something that the people believed in and they is really worth dying for. Okay? Now, mind you, these books were all circulated during that time. Now, one day, they all decided, because of all the false teachings, false gospels, there's the gospel of St. Thomas, there's the gospel of Judas, they all started coming in. And so they decided, we have to fight against these things. And so they came up with a canon. Okay? The Council of Nicene, during this time, they decided that there will be 27 books in the New Testament. Now, the Old Testament has already been decided. Even the Lord Jesus quoted with reference to the Old Testament. He said, the law and the prophets. Okay, let's turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. The law is a reference to the first five books of the Bible, and the prophets is a reference to all the others. So the Lord Jesus himself verified the Old Testament. So the Old Testament is really settled. We don't have to argue about it. The Lord Jesus himself settled it. Right? It's verified. So now what's most important is the next 27 books. Right? 29 books. 66, right? 27, 39, right? Yeah, 27 books. So the next 27 books, who decided? The Council of Nicene. They all got together, all the scholars, all the brilliant people, all those who spend time just looking at Greek, you know, and studied the scriptures, and they all came together and they all decided, okay, these are the 27 books, which already had been circulated. It's already being used in all the churches. They were just officially recognizing it. Right? Some of your schools, the, you know, official opening. Right? Last time I was staying opposite Compassvale. Anybody stay Compassvale Street? Compassvale Secondary School, Sengkang. So I stayed opposite Compassvale Secondary School. And wow, so it was a new school. They started first year, second, sec one, sec two, sec three. So the batches came in. And the school was really functioning, operating for 3-4 years. And then the fourth batch came. Then they officially opened the school. After 4 years, it's really on, you know, officially opening. The fourth year, when the fourth batch came in, then they officially opened the school. But actually, the school has been operating really all this while. Right? Same thing. The canon of scriptures has really been there. Is just an officially recognizing of the 27 epistles in the New Testament. Okay, then along the way, there were others who all argued, okay, well, this one shouldn't be. But at the end of the day, what we have in the scriptures is the official canon of the Bible. Okay, does that answer the question? Okay. The other question, Lorraine, you were asking about when a person dies after that, a non-believer, right? You were asking about how a non-believer, if the person were to die, is it, that's it? Or can... Answers meaning what? Is there another way? Okay, say for example, if the person dies, can the person still be saved after he dies? Like, okay, the Roman Catholics, they believe that you can pray for the dead. And that prayer of the dead can help in some ways, right? So is there help for them? And the answer is no. There's no help. Once a person dies, that's it. There is no second chance. Yes. You have the whole lifetime. Say, for example, a person dies at 70 years old. The person had 70 years. Okay, minus the first 5 years. Don't know what's happening. Right? But by 6, 7 years old, you should know already. Right? Dying young. How young? Primary school. That's why we have junior camp. Why? Because a young person can actually come to know the Lord. Now, where is the... Okay, if you are a baby, right? This Justina and Nelson, they just gave birth to a baby. Justina gave birth to the baby. And baby very cute, right? Or we talk about Daniel. Student pastor Eugene's son, Daniel. Very cute nowadays, he's very smart, very smiley, right? So if something will happen to a baby, will the baby go to heaven or to hell? And the answer is, the baby will go to heaven. Okay? So the baby, after death, if the baby were to die, the baby will go to heaven. Okay, that's from, let's turn to 2 Samuel. Verse 12. Okay, verse 19. Second Samuel 12. Did I say 12? I said 12. No, I didn't say. Oh, verse 12. Sorry. Okay, Second Samuel chapter 12. Verse 19. David's son was dying and then he died. And David saw that his servants were whispering. David perceived the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" "He is dead." And David arose, washed, anointed himself, changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servant said, "What is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." And he said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, 'Who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me? The child may live.' But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Okay, so that is a biblical basis by which all babies, if something were to happen to them, they will go to heaven. Because a child, a baby cannot discern at this point of time what is good, what is right, what is bad. Right? Although inherent in a child, the child can sin. Okay, now, when is the cutoff point? When does a child or a young person becomes responsible? Okay, that's why in the Jewish society, they have this thing called the bar mitzvah. Okay, and that is normally, I think, if I'm not wrong, 12 years old, or 8 years old, around there, 8 or 12 years old. Where this person will go through a rite of passage, a very special event, and the person becomes so-called responsible for his or her own life. Now, we don't know when's the cutoff point, but we have a God who is just, a God who is wise, a God who is fair. So we lift that to him. Right? Ken? Does that answer your question? Okay, now, I ask you the question. My question to you is, one, do you have a walk with God? Are you walking with God? Okay, that's the first question. Second question, and if you are walking with God, what are your challenges? What are your struggles? Okay? You know, maybe we, you know, you go ahead, you discuss, then we can talk along the way. Do you have a walk with God? Second question, what are your challenges? What are your struggles if you are walking with God? And if you are not walking with God, why? Okay, Ken, go ahead, discuss. There's no choir today, so let's take all the time in the world to think about this. Ken? Well, I have all the time in the world. Maybe y'all don't have. Y'all got exams and all, but it's okay. Because your walk with God is more important than your exam. Ah. Right? Okay. But don't quote me on that, okay? Yeah, it is. It is more important, really. You ask me what's the most important thing in life? It's my walk with God. The rest are not important. Okay, it's important to survive in life. Yes, we all need to study, we need to, but to me, my walk with God is the most important thing. Okay, Ken, go ahead, discuss, talk. Thank you. Okay, how? Are you all ready? Okay, 你们好了吗? 我很感动啊 Chinese and Hokkien huh? Okay, are you ready? Okay, how? What was my question? Okay, are you walking? Yes, are you walking with God? What are your challenges? Okay. Anything that you want to raise up? First. Okay. Okay. Daily consciousness. Yeah, go ahead.
And then we all agree that there are challenges.
Okay.
Because there are days where we walk out of life with God, and we don't even walk at all.
Okay.
And we realize that what creates all these challenges it can be because of our sin problems that have not been dealt with, and it can also be due to
Wow, that's a lot. Okay, anything else you want to say? Your group? Okay. Okay, next group. Guys. Okay. Okay, inconsistency. What else?
Lack of consciousness.
Lack of consciousness. Okay. God doesn't take priority. Okay. Okay, next group. Who's next? Definition.
Yeah.
Okay. And?
I think it'll be more trying to understand what they understand by God. So there's the practical, there's the theoretical understanding God's word. And then there's the practical part that can be personal relationship.
Hmm. Can. Next group. Guys. Okay. Going through the motion of it. Ease your guilt. Right? Going through motion. Okay, next. Understanding his word. Okay. Anything else? Depending. Strength. Forgive my horrible handwriting. Okay, what else? Consistency, inconsistency,
time management.
Okay, heart is there. Sorry, mind. Sorry. You want to do it, but heart is not there. Is it? Going through the motion now. Not doing it. Okay. Priority. Sin. Okay. Last group. Discouragement. Meaning? Don't want to walk. Okay, then you don't walk. Okay. Discouragement. And that's a big problem. A lot of us, we end up being very discouraged. And we don't feel like walking. Or we feel that, I'm like that, then also no use. Right? Good. I'm glad you are raising up all these issues. What else? Circumstantial walk with God. Wow, that's a new one. Circumstantial. Okay. Circumstantial. Yep. Discipline. Wow, you have a lot of problems. Yeah. How to solve all these problems? I go and ask Pastor. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're raising up all this problem. And you realize that walking with God is far harder than you think. Right? So we want to begin first by defining what walking with God is really all about. And we want to go to Genesis chapter 5 to take a look at this. Okay, now faith, we started off with faith and understanding go together. How God created the world and so on. Faith, last week we dealt with faith and worship go together. And so this week we want to talk about how faith and our walk, how it affects our walk with God. Right? Now, what is it that we want to consider with reference to a walk with God? Okay? It's basically two people walking. Right? When two persons walk together, you have what we call friendship and communion. Right? Alina, come. Okay. You stand here. Yeah. Pretend we are walking. Yeah, just walk. Just walk a bit. Yeah. Now, it's not so fast. That's called walking ahead. Walk slowly. Yeah, okay. Walk slowly. So, two people walking. When we walk with God, we are walking side. God is walking side by side with us. Can you see this? Now, how do I develop a walk? How long have you known me, Alina? 8 years. I still remember this very feisty, well, not feisty, like very sprightly, very vibrant sec 2 girl, right? And she shared a song. I still remember, who is this girl? And she shared with such exuberance, with very chim words, and I still remember that. And everybody, wow, that was very good, because everybody stopped. Who is this girl? I still remember that. Okay, and I'm glad for her. And you know, it's been 8 years, isn't it, that we have developed. What have we developed? Friendship, relationship, a personal relationship with each other. Anytime we want to talk, can come to my office, we talk. Okay? Although we sit down, we actually walk, you know, as if we are walking. Right? And as we walk, okay, walk slowly. And as we walk, we talk. We relate. you tell me your problems, I give you a solution, we go to the scriptures, we fellowship, we relate, we commune. Right? You go away strengthened, you go away encouraged, you go away learning something from the whole experience. Correct? Okay, thanks. Now, that is what a walk with God is about. There are two things. One, it's a relationship. It is a loving relationship with God. Can you see that? And it comes about when you know Him, when you have knowledge of God. You cannot relate to God, you cannot have a walk, a loving relationship with God if you don't know Him. If you don't know the Scriptures, you don't know, there's no understanding of Him. So first there must be the understanding. Because that's what faith is. Faith is, you got to know God and then you relate with Him. Okay? So that's the first thing. There must be a relationship. If there's no relationship, it's very hard to commune. So that's the first. Now, the second thing, as you have a relationship, you commune. You talk to each other. The word commune is a very, you fellowship. You sit down and or you are walking, and as you walk, you talk. You see, God desires communion with you. Okay? God desires to know you. God desires for you to know Him. God desires closeness with Him. And so the word communion is a very special word. Okay? I years ago, when I was your age, when I was in JC1, I read a whole series of books by a man called Andrew Murray. And I still remember those books, because those books were about taking the time to be with God, to walk with God, to commune with God. Okay? And God desires communion with us. God desires to talk to you. God desires you to talk to Him. So it's not just prayer. Prayer is, we all think that prayer is one way, but actually prayer is two ways. Prayer is we talking to God and God talking to us. Huh? Can God talk to us? Yes. But He does it through His Word. He does it through impressing things upon you as you learn to be still. I tell you how I do it. Let me be very, very practical with you. Every morning I get up and I walk with God. I spend an hour reading the scriptures, memorizing His Word. I literally go and walk. So on Thursday, like last Thursday morning, I got up at 5 and I went for a walk. I took some memory verses. And I went to walk. I went downstairs to the car park. It was raining. So I went to the car park and I started walking. As I walked, I took my memory verses. I memorized. And as I memorized, I thought about God. And as I thought about God, I prayed to God. And as I prayed to God, I could sense His presence. So that half an hour, 45 minutes, I am communing with God. I can sense God's presence. And every day, I seek to do that. Now, that is something that we see in Enoch. Okay, you turn to Genesis 5, and we read. Now, it's a very interesting passage. Okay, now I'm not going to try to hurry, okay? You give me until 5, Ken. We don't hurry. We won't go into our groups. Just give me the time. Let me explain to you what this is about. Now, in chapter 5, we read Adam, verse 5, verse 3, he was 130 years old. He began He begot a son in his own likeness after his image, named him Seth. And he begot Seth, and the days of Adam were 800 years. He had sons and daughters. He lived until 930 years old. Who wants to live until 930 years old? Anybody here? Suen, you want to live until 900 years old? Alina, you're on your own, okay? I won't be here. 930 years old. Wow, hair drop, everything bald, no teeth, your face wrinkled. 930 years old. Okay, but actually, during that time, they were able to live until so long. Okay? Now, Enosh lived 90 years, begot Cainah, and he begot Cainah. Enosh lived 850 years old, had sons. 905 years. Okay, slightly less. Okay, and then go on to others. Mahalalel. Wow, what a name. Mahalalel. Please don't name your son Mahalalel. Okay, some names you... Not so nice. The next one, yeah, not bad. Jared. Jared sounds good. Okay, Mahalalel. 830 years old, had sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 899 years. Wow. A lot more. Jared lived 160 years, begot Enosh, and after that, Enoch. And Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years. Wow, everybody, 900, 900, 900. Now, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Salah. And he begot Methuselah. Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, what is so special about Enoch that is different from all the others? What is so special? What's the difference? What's the difference? Compare Enoch with Mahalalel. What's the difference? Okay, so what's the difference? There's a difference. Compare it to Mahalalel. Compare it what else? Enosh. Cainah. Mahalalel. Jared. What's the difference? Sorry? He never died? Well, actually he died. Yeah. Okay, his death was special. I'll explain it. But before we go into that, what's the difference? Sorry? Okay, after he begot, he commenced his walk. But compare it to all the other names. What's the difference? Okay, the rest didn't walk. You're right. Sorry? Consistency, we'll come to that. You know what's the difference? The difference is the others are just names. Names mentioned. Right? They are just names mentioned in this chapter. For Enoch, his name was not just the only thing. It was his testimony that stood out. Can you see the difference? The difference is that the others were just names. Names mentioned. Enoch is his testimony that stood out. You see, it's very easy for us to just end up as names. This person died. This person died. This person died. Obituary, this person died. Next time, your name will also be in an obituary. This person died. Will you just be a name? Or will you bear testimony of a vibrant, consistent walk with God? Can you see the difference? Right? it's very easy for people to just end up as names. So what do you want to be? What do you want to see your whole life? You just want to see a name? Someone's name? You all got yearbooks, right? All of you. Your school has yearbooks. Right? And then you all got class. Photo, and then your name's there. But then you go and see some other parts of the book. Wow, this person becomes the... what? He won an award. Some Asian scholarship, something. And then, wow, his name is there. Now that's special. Right? This person won the president scholarship from JC. Do they? President scholarship or something? Okay, the name is there. Wow, this person's president scholar. That's special. So what do you want? You want just to be a name? Or do you want to be someone who's known by your walk? By your walk with God. You see the difference? He stood out. His name was outstanding. The whole world at this point of time, now, this is only one, two generations from Noah. The whole world was slowly becoming corrupt. Okay, it was a time, a generation where people were sinning, there were people being corrupt, perverse, violence, it was spreading. One man stood out. He stood out among all the others. Look at the world today, look at your friends, look at the school that you all go to. What do you see? You see darkness. You see perversity. You see corruption. Right? How would you fare in the midst of all that darkness? Will your name stand up? How does a person become outstanding? How does a person's faith become outstanding? It's when he applies it to his walk with God. See, young people, I'm going to challenge you today. Walk with God. If there's something that will help you in your life, in terms of your faith, in terms of your career, in terms of everything that you do, it is your walk with God. Because Enoch placed God first, he walked with God for 300 years. Now, his life is relatively shorter than all the others. All the others, 900 years old, but they didn't walk with God. Nothing's mentioned of that. His life was relatively shorter, 300 years, still a very long time. I really lived 50 years, it's, wow. It's a long time, man. Right, some of you, you only live 20 years. Wow, very sian, eh? Right? Olivia, are you sian of your life? Are you tired? No, huh? Still, okay. No more canoeing, but never mind. You have a whole life ahead. Life does not consist of rowing only. Huh? Right? If there's one thing I want to impress upon you this afternoon, is what is the most important thing that a Christian must do? He must walk with God. You neglect this, I can tell you, everything will collapse. Everything will fail. You won't find the strength. You won't find the vibrancy of faith. You won't be able to do a lot of things. Sure, you can still survive in this world. But I can tell you, your soul will be very dry. You'll be tired. You'll be worn out. You'll be sinning. All these problems will be there. These are the very problems. Discouragement. God, let me tell you, God loves walking with you. He desires more than anything else to listen to you. He created you, and He wants to walk with you. Please don't for one moment think, He doesn't want to walk with me. I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy. But he desires. You know, when he went to the Garden of Eden, I wanted to say Garden of Gethsemane, Garden of Eden. When he went, he walked in the Garden of Eden. What is the first thing that he wanted to do? Oh, I'm going to look at the plants, look at the fruits, where's the durian? The MOD plucked the... What's the first thing he... First thing he wanted was to look for Adam. That's the first thing he wanted to do. Do you know that God desires to walk with you? He wants to fellowship with you. He wants you to walk with him. Can you see this? And so Enoch walked with God. You know, I have a very close relationship with Pastor Mark. And I love Pastor Mark very much. I grew up with him. The other day I was on the bus and I saw a pair of twins. Every day now I see them come on the same bus. I take 62 to church and they take the same bus. I tell you, wow, when I saw them playing with each other, fighting, and you know, two of them alone, and they were pushing each other, the backdrop, la, then they score, wow, almost like going to punch each other. It was like flashback. I tell you, wow, tears come down my eyes. My goodness, I tell you, it was just like Pastor Mark and I. Wow, the more, they score each other, wow, fight. I tell you, so every day now I see them, I think of Pastor Mark. You know what? It was such a moving thing for me. Right, and you know what? There is this very special relationship. Relationship that's built over the years. Same thing, you know, every time I meet with Ashley, my goddaughter. You know, there's such a... Especially now, there's this closeness. She will come and hug me, I will hug her, and she will tell me that she loves me, and I tell her that I love her. And the other day, we went to her place, we had dinner, and we were sitting, and then she will ask all kinds of funny questions. You know, and one question, she said, "Hey, Gopa, you have 6 packs. My first reaction is, what kind of question is that? Then I say, yes, but now they are all united as one. Yeah. It has become biblical. United as one. Don't know how to answer her. Yeah, but you know, there is a very special sense of love and closeness. You see, if we can achieve and develop closeness with people, human beings, so much more God. And I can tell you, I have through the years developed a sense of joy and delight in walking with God. Now, the thing that stands out about Enoch is that he was consistent. For 300 years, he walked with God. And it was very rare. It was very rare to see this consistency. There was that daily discipline. There was daily walk with God. And if you are just trying to go through the motion, you know, it's to ease your guilt. If you're just trying to do all these things, you will fail again and again and again. And the challenge is that why do I make it a priority? My priority to walk with God is because I love God. I love being with Him. I love discovering Him. I love knowing Him. So there must be an element of love. If you do not have that element of love, it's very hard to walk with God. And so maybe that's one thing you want to start with. Maybe you want to talk to the core members a bit later. Do I really have a love for God? Do I have a love that will cause me to walk with Him? We all can commence this walk with God. So Enoch commenced walking with God. But not only he commenced, he cultivated this walk with God. This walk with God must be cultivated. Love is something you cultivate. And especially a God who you cannot see. But you know, through the years, I've cultivated a relationship with my Heavenly Father. It's a relationship between a father and a son. Now, it doesn't come out here, but it comes out with reference to Jesus. How did Jesus walk with God every day? It was because he related to God as Father. And he was Son. Can you see this? And there was that consistency. Consistency is not easy. And yet, the challenge is, as you know Him, as you love Him, as you discover about Him, it goes beyond just something I need to do. You know, some of you call it quiet time. This is my quiet time. And it's very quiet. You go there, especially if you do it at night. You tell God this, okay, I meet you now. And then you pray, dear God. Then it becomes very quiet. And then in the morning you get up, amen. No, that's why I don't do my quiet time at night. I begin the day with God. And I will pray. By the time I come here, 7 o'clock, okay, I tell you my routine early in the morning. I get up at 5. Sometimes I go and walk. I'll walk half an hour, memorize His word. Okay? If I don't walk, then I'll read. I'll read one or two chapters from Isaiah. 5:45, I go and prepare myself. 5:15, I leave my house. Sorry, 6:15, I leave my house. 6:22, the bus will come. 6:22, right on the dot. I have to be at the bus. Every day I meet this auntie who goes and does her, you know, don't know what, Tai Chi. And then sometimes she takes a sword and... Now she's on holiday for 4 months in Japan. And she has a house there. Amazing lady. Oh, I say, you go alone. Yeah. She can speak Japanese. Wow, amazing. She worked there for 10 years or something like that. So very, very interesting lady. That's one lady. Another one is a PL teacher. Primary school. And then, so every day I'll meet these two people. And I will just talk to them, hello. And then I'll go to the bus. And the next half an hour on the bus, until 7 o'clock when the bus reaches here, I'll be memorizing, thinking, praying, thinking about God. And by the time I pray at 7:15 to about 7:30, I'm all set for the day. I've really spent 2 hours with God, thinking about God. That's my everyday routine. And that's how I walk with God. Now, it doesn't mean you have to do the same thing. But my challenge to you is, find a time. Find a time. Find a time where you can read. Where you can be alone with God. Take your handphone, put it under a pillow, put it in a bathroom, throw it away if you want. Don't look at it. The moment you get distracted. Please, when you spend time with God, give God the honor. Take it away. Switch it off. Who cares? Don't touch it. Close the door. Go into the closet. Don't go into your cupboard. Go somewhere. Spend that time with God. Read His word. Memorize His word. a time. Take a time to be still. Have you ever tried being still? Have you ever tried sensing God? Have you ever tried just focusing on God and on nothing else? And sense His presence. And as you sense His presence, your heart becomes still. Your mind is on Him. And you pray. Have you ever tried being still? Maybe we try it now. Let me show you. Maybe we can try. You put down your pens. You listen to my voice. You close your eyes. Okay? We try. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, never mind. We just try. Okay? You don't sleep, okay? Really, you just listen to my voice. You close your eyes. And you be very still. As you be still, you think about Enoch. How he walked with God every day. And how God would be with him. And how God would commune with him. You know, God is right here, right now. And he wants to commune with you. Will you open up your heart? Will you be still? Will you sense His presence? You know, just focus on the Lord. Focus on how He is our Heavenly Father. All the good things that He has done, how He has given us the Lord Jesus Christ. Just focus on Him. Focus on how He desires to be here with you. Just wants to commune with you. Will you be still? Will you just focus on Him? Tell Him. Speak to Him. Tell the Lord, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to be still. I want to sense Your presence. You know, take my hand. Tell Him. Lead me. Guide me in my life. Help me. This coming week, it's going to be exam time. Walk with me. Pray. Pray to Him now. Be very still. Can you sense His presence? Can you sense Him here with you? Take a moment. Pray to Him. Tell Him how you feel. Tell Him that you want to walk with Him.
tell him how much you need him. Will you do that? Do you pray? You can open your eyes. Okay. You sense anything? Is there a stillness to your heart? Sense anything? You did sense something, right? Yeah. You learn to be still, isn't it? You sense anything? You feel anything? Sarah, as you pray. You feel more calm, you're right. You feel anything? Do you feel anything? Ethan? You feel that God is here? Nick? You could sense it, right? Now you're just getting a glimpse of it. Okay? You feel anything there? Can you imagine? I've just given you a glimpse of what I do every day. Can you imagine if you spend 15 minutes every day developing it, cultivating it? I can tell you one thing that will happen to you. Your heart will be a lot more calm and still. It's a very, very special thing. Something that I developed and cultivated with God all through the years. There comes a very special sense of stillness. It affects everything you do. When you study, when you are with your friends, the stillness is there. Some of you will take a bit of time to develop it. But at least you caught a glimpse, right, Beth? If nothing else, you catch a glimpse. How the stillness can be there. You call it good. Right? Right? You catch it, Lorraine? You feel it? It's something when you seek the Lord, it is something you feel in your heart. And so for Enoch, he walked with God every day for 300 years. And God was pleased. He was exemplary. And so, God took him. What is this? God took him. God took him away. Now, that was his reward. God evaluated his faith and took him away one day. Now, what is that? Now, he did die in the end. He did die, but the special thing is that God personally came and took him away. Okay? The other person that experienced this was Elijah. God came and took Elijah away. And this was God's commendation to Enoch, that he had a good testimony. And that was really, really special. Okay? Okay? Now I hope you will take the time. Do you feel anything? Any? Yes, sir. Oh. Now, imagine if you were to take the time to do it every day. Just be with God. Be still. Pray. Read His Word. Fill your heart with the Word of God. I can tell you, you will go through this year seeking to do your A-levels differently. There will be a lot more peace. There will be a lot more hope. There will be a lot more joy. Okay? And so we come to Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you were to do it every day, diligently seeking Him, again and again and again, I can tell you, He will be pleased. He will reward you with peace, with joy, with hope, with strength, with the ability, with wisdom to live your life differently, outstandingly. So Ben, you go back tomorrow, is it? Go with this. Go with this determination. You know what? I'm going to seek the Lord each day. Diligently. Right? Finding this stillness. Take a moment. Take a moment. You know, okay, Lord, I'm just going to be still. I'm just going to sense Your presence. And you know what? That's going to help you through the day. And so, here we see, for without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Okay, faith is paramount. Without faith, nothing happens. But with faith, everything happens. Faith to me is paramount. Impossible to please Him. You need to have faith. So that's the first thing. Faith is paramount. Faith is about the person of God. You got to know God. It's paramount. It's about the person of God. He who comes to me must believe that He is. He is everything that He is. All that you read in the Scripture is all true. The person of God. You know what? I believe everything that He is. He is God, I believe. He is all-powerful, I believe. He is and was and it will come. You turn to Isaiah 41, verse 4. You put one finger there. Isaiah 41, verse 4. And he states, verse 4. Okay. Who has performed and done it? Calling the generations from the beginning. This is a God from the very beginning. You know what? He can call the generations to rise up. I am the Lord. I am the first and will be the and with the last, I am He. From the very beginning to the very end, He is God. This is the eternity of God. God is eternal. Beginning, end, He is. I am. I am who I am. Wow. This is God. Can we believe Him? Fully? The person of God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I call this the pursuit of God. I pursue God. I will seek Him diligently. So it's not just one time during exam time. It is a lifelong pursuit of God and of closeness with God. The pursuit of God. My life goal is to pursue God and to seek Him and to discover Him and to love Him. So faith
It is paramount. It is about the person of God. It's about the pursuit of God. It's about pleasing God. If you do these four things, you will please Him. You place faith as a priority. Like Enoch, he walked with God. That was his priority. God was pleased. God took him. How do you want to die one day? Laura, how would you want to die? Well, how would you want to die? Then during the week, this polar bear died. Right? Well, not died, like he was put to sleep. Whoa, everybody's talking about him. What's his name? Inuka. Polar bear. 400 people were at his funeral. I can't believe it. And they were all crying, you know. Wow. So moving. He's a polar bear. Of course, you know, 27 years of being in Singapore, you know, born in captivity, first in Asia and so on. 27 years. There's a lot of emotions and relationship with this polar bear. I call him a very cheeky fella. He would take all the toys, go and block the water pipe, you know, the water intake, so they get stuck. You know, he'd be very happy because of it. Right? It's a polar bear. And they can talk so much about him. 400 people were at his funeral. You know, there are some people I've seen, you don't even have 400 people. Right? How we want to die in grief? One day. Absolutely. Right? How we want to die? How will you die, Olivia? Racing. They will have a monument of Olivia with the pedal. Is that how you want to die? Yes. Not the race, right? Not the rolling. Life. I tell you how I want to die. Okay? Pastor says he wants to die having a heart attack, preaching halfway. People remember that, the message. I tell you how I would like to die. I would like to serve the Lord, do my very best, and I know it's time. And then I sleep. Close my eyes. Heart attack. Oh! The next moment I open my eyes, I see Jesus. And the Lord will take me. And the challenge for all of you this afternoon is to walk with God. Have the faith to walk with God each day, to start with faith, to seek Him, and to stay the course. Okay, you want to start walking with God? Seek Him every day. Pursue Him. Pursue the knowledge of God. Okay? Thirdly, stay the course. Stick with it. Follow through to the end. I can tell you, God will bless everything that you do. To me, you ask me, what is the most important thing for a Christian to do? It is to walk with God. Each day and every day. And be consistent. And the Lord will indeed bless. So there's the commencement of walk, there's the cultivation of walk, there's the consistency of walk, and then there is the commendation of walk. Okay? That's something we all can have. Okay? Okay? And one day, when you die, you will not just be a name. You'll be someone known for your walk with God. Okay? Well, let's pray.
Our Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, that we can take a moment to be still, to just sense your presence, to know that you want to commune with us, that you want to walk with us, that we are meant to walk with you as Enoch did. And we pray, dear Father, that we can learn to do this, to cultivate our walk, and to be consistent in it. And one day, we can be commended for it. And we want to pray for each one of us that, Lord, we will truly understand how to have this relationship with you. And we know that you can bless us in all that we do. Pray for all those who are taking exams this coming week and the next. We pray that you will be with them and encourage each one and challenge them. And bless all that they seek to do for you. And bless, Lord, even as we give this offering to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's give our offering.